Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests that help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about our firm, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com. Also, I invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, which has audio, video, and articles on topics of interest in tax, business, and estate planning. And last, I invite you to read my column once a month in the Washington Business Journal entitled Blueprint for Wealth. Today, we're going to be talking about tax issues because it is getting close to that deadly date, April the 17th this year, which is the tax filing deadline for individuals to get their tax returns in. And for many of you who have been procrastinating, here's some last-minute advice for you to take with you. Here are the 10 big deductions that many of us miss when we're preparing our tax returns. Number one on the list is charitable non-cash contributions. Charity, as I hope you remember, begins with a tax deduction. Now, let's say you emptied your closets and gave everything to Goodwill or AmVets or a similar charity. The value of your donated items, your clothes, furniture, lamps, toys, whatever, is deductible. Make sure you get a written receipt for that contribution. With non-cash charitable contributions, the rule is simple. No receipt, no deduction if you get audited. Clothes and household goods must be in good or better condition to get any deduction. If you've already dumped your clothes off at the Salvation Army box and walked away without a receipt, take the deduction anyway. You've legitimately made the contribution. You just need to have support for that deduction. You just may not be able to prove it in an audit, and that may be the problem. Starting with 2007 tax returns, the law requires a receipt of some sort or written confirmation for all charitable contributions. You could play the audit lottery, but I don't recommend it. If you can, reconstruct as much as you can the list of items that you donated and then figure out their market value. The easiest way is to go to a thrift store or other place like that where used items are sold after donation, and check the prices there as to what they're selling it for. Number two on the list of the top 10 big deductions that you need to consider when you're preparing your taxes is points on your refinancing. While interest rates remain low, lots of homes are being refinanced, sometimes more than once in 1 or 2 years. Any points you pay to refinance your home can be deducted on a monthly basis over the life of the new loan. If you have a 7-year ARM, you can deduct it over 7 years. If you have a 30-year fixed mortgage, it can be deducted over 30 years. So if you refinanced your mortgage, say, in June of 2011 for a 20-year term, 7 out of 240 months, which is the total for 20 years, will have passed before December 31st, which means that if you paid $2,400 in points, you can write off $70 or $10 a month for 2011. And you can write off $120 for 2012 and every year thereafter until the points have been deducted in full. Number three on the list of the biggest deductions that many of us miss when we're preparing our tax returns is old points on refinancing. This is one deduction that I've seen missed by many people when looking at tax returns. If you refinance your mortgage and you have unamortized points from your old mortgage, you're allowed to deduct the unamortized points in the year of your refinancing or in the year that you repay the old mortgage. So let's say if you refinance in June of 2010 and you had paid $2,400 in points in that year, and then you refinance a year later in June of 2011, you can deduct the unamortized points on the 2010 loan on your 2011 return. Likewise, if you refinance the 2011 loan in 2012, you can deduct the 2011 points in 2012, and so on. Number four on the list of the 10 biggest deductions that many of us miss are health insurance premiums. Believe it or not, any health insurance premiums that you pay, including some long-term care premiums that are based on your age, and Medicare premiums that you might be paying, are potentially deductible. You have to add these to all of your other medical expenses to determine whether or not they're deductible. And of course, if you haven't run into this before, medical expenses are limited to 7.5% of your adjusted gross income. It has to exceed that floor. So if you have $100,000 of adjusted gross income, the floor for deducting medical expenses is $7,500. So your health insurance premiums, your long-term care insurance, all your medical expenses would have to exceed that amount before you can claim it as an itemized deduction on your tax return. The Small Business Jobs Act of 2010 changed many of these rules. Self-employed individuals can deduct their health insurance premiums as well as employed individuals in computing their Social Security tax obligation. Number five on the list is, of the 10 big deductions that many of us miss, are expenses of being a teacher or an educator. If you're a qualified educator, you can get an above-the-line deduction of as much as $250 that you've spent for materials you bought in 2011. That includes books, supplies, and even computer equipment. You qualify if you are a kindergarten through grade 12 teacher, aide, instructor, or principal. The best part? Since it's an above-the-line deduction, you don't have to worry about itemizing to get the benefit. Number six on the list of top 10 biggest deductions that many of us miss is higher education expenses. But it really only applies to a limited group whose adjusted gross income is $65,000 or less, or if you're married filing jointly, $130,000 or less. If you are in that category, you can get an above-the-line deduction of as much as $4,000 for higher education expenses that you've paid. This break was extended through 2011. You also might qualify for an American Opportunity Tax Credit for undergraduate and lifetime learning credit for postgraduate courses. You can't take the credit and the deduction, so you have to be careful when you're preparing your tax return here. Number seven of the top 10 biggest deductions that many of us miss, and remember, the tax return filing deadline of April 17th is just around the corner, is the Energy Savings Home Improvement Credit. Credits are good because they result in a dollar-for-dollar deduction in your tax as opposed to a deduction for which you can deduct it on your return, but you really only get the benefit equal to whatever your marginal tax rate is. So credits usually are better than deductions. This had been a 30% credit for skylights, outside doors, windows, pigmented roofs, high-efficiency furnaces, water heaters, and central air units installed in your primary residence in 2009 and 2010. The credit for most improvements was capped at $1,500, but that was $1,500 off the cost of your improvements, effectively. For 2011, the credit was cut from 30% to 10%, and it only applies to up to $500, reduced by any credit that you may have claimed in past years. So the benefit of this credit has been seriously curtailed. Number eight on the list of the top 10 biggest deductions that most of us miss when we're preparing our tax return are investment and tax expenses. Most of us forget tax planning and investment expenses because they fall under what's called the miscellaneous itemized expense floor. The total, essentially, of these expenses has to exceed 2% of your adjusted gross income before you get any tax benefit. So, for example, if you add up all these miscellaneous itemized deductions and they don't exceed 2% of your adjusted gross income, you can't claim them on your return. So as an example, if you have $100,000 of adjusted gross income and your miscellaneous itemized deductions are $3,500, you will get the benefit of a deduction of $1,500, $3,500 minus $2,000, which is 2% of $100,000. Expenses to track include employee business expenses, tax prep fees, and even the portion of your legal or accounting fees related to your tax planning. For example, in a divorce, the legal time spent relating to the tax aspects of alimony and child support should be segregated by your lawyer and would qualify for deduction. So too would the tax aspects of your estate planning. Also, many people shortchange themselves on the deduction of investment expenses because, remember, not only safe deposit boxes are deductible, but also fees paid to your broker and IRA expenses that you pay directly may be included in these calculations. Number 9 on the list of the top 10 most overlooked big deductions is casualty expense. And 2011 brought a lot of opportunity to claim this expense. There were forest and range fires, floods, and huge snowstorms. If the president declared where you live to be a disaster area, you could claim your loss on either your 2011 or 2010 return. And you can do so by filing an amended tax return. Last but not least on the list of the 10 biggest deductions that many of us miss is the retirement tax credit. If you have questions about your taxes and you want to know what kind of planning you can engage in, give us a call at Odin Feldman and Pittleman at 703-218-2100, and one of the many tax attorneys at the firm will be happy to help you. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth.